First Kings 19, distinguishing leadings, revelations, and visions. First Kings 19. All right, verse 10. I think we'll just go to 12 because that's where we took it from. Or 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and broke in pieces, or break in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. But after the earthquake, a fire. The Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice. And then we began to look at the meaning of the word still, small voice. And we said the word voice is the Hebrew word qol, Q-O-L, which is significant. That is, it's a sound of a language. In other words, it's used many times for a man. So, basically, it has to do with man. A sound of a man. And look at verse 11. Verse 11 says, before the Lord. Now, a very vital truth here is the voice will be the voice of a man. Qol in the Hebrew, which is a sound that is significant. In other words, it's used for human speaking. And so we said that there is no voice of God. There's no voice of God. It's the voice, a regular voice that is heard in the Spirit. A regular voice that is heard in the Spirit. And that's the first thing. And it's a regular voice, qol, that is seen as that small voice. And then we said the relevance of this particular incident will be in Romans 11:4, where Paul mentions the answer of God. The word krematismos, which you saw last week, taken from krematizo, I'm just reviewing last week, which has to do with an oracle, that is, an utterance, you know. So by using the word answer of God, which is an utterance, all right, which is a response, again, we said it's a response, it implies that we have a work to do. Is it God or an angel? Well, it's quick to say because he said before the Lord. And secondly, when you see that Paul says the answer of God. So can that qualify to be God who spoke or an angel? And we're going to examine that, you know, a bit in detail. Once again, look at verse 18. Romans 11 verse 4. Romans 11 verse 4. I was here the answer of God unto him. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Okay? You'll find that statement in verse 18. Yet I have left me 7,000 men, 7,000 Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal and every mouth which has not kissed him. So, that's where that was taken from. So we must find out whether it's an angel, or God directly. It's not every time that you find an angel speak that you say it's God, though they are Hebrews chapter 1 verse 7 says they are ministering spirits. Okay, it maketh the angels spirits and his servants a flame of fire. So you can say, well, they are from God, but then by using the word utterance, it tends to give us an opinion. To choose whether it's God directly or a second party or a third party, because you can have the word krematismos used for a third party. So by using answer of God, it could have been an utterance of God. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Come on, does it make sense? An utterance of God. So we can't safely say directly that was the Spirit of God. So we'll find out as we study the fact that he says God said, or an answer of God does not mean it was the Spirit of God that spoke to Elijah. Now, so it will be left for us to decide whether it was an angel of God or God. So look at John 8:12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, something again comes out. He calls it the light of life. So write it down, very vital, that the key to direction is faith in Christ. The key to direction, or the access to direction, is faith in Christ. I didn't say access to God speaking. No. God speaking is not direction. It is the reception, the capacity to receive, that is direction. I'll repeat myself. God speaking to a man is not direction. It's the capacity to receive it. That is direction. So he said, he that follows me shall have the light of life. Now, the word follow is not the same thing as somebody behind you. It has to do with taking heed to someone. Akoutheo in the Greek, A-K-O-L-O-U-T-H-E-O. It means to attend to someone. That is, if I'm saying something and I'm talking, and I'm saying, come around. Hearing it is not following. That's not akoutheo yet. It's when you actually heard me and you listened, then you heeded what I was saying, then that is following. In other words, the word he that follows me there can safely be he that believes. Because it's by believing that you have light. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. Shall have the light of life. Okay? So there's light. Notice it. Shall not walk in darkness. Shall not walk. Obviously, light and darkness, they are spiritual terms. He's not talking about physical darkness or physical light. Now, in John's Gospel, the same John's Gospel, that's what we're going to say. John's Gospel 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in darkness, 3 and 4, and the darkness couldn't comprehend it. Notice that, the light shines in the darkness, and darkness couldn't comprehend it. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when it says the light of life, that means the light that is in the life. Amen. Amen. So, who is the one who follows him? John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So, the man who is born again has the light of life. Say, I have the light of life. Now, in verse 9, it says, the true light, John 1, that lights every man that cometh into the world. Of course, when you hear every man, that every man will be verse 12. As many as received him. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Not every human being, but everyone, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them in that context, in the four gospels, that believe on his name. So, in other words, the key to direction is faith in Christ. Is what? Faith in Christ is the access to direction. The key to direction is not prayer. The access to direction is not fasting. The moment you take that route, okay, you are stepping into unbelief. The access to direction is faith in Christ. Amen? Are you there? And you can see that Elijah was in between opinions. The earthquake, the fire, the wind, and then the still small voice. So we can't Any Christian who has that kind of experience is following his senses. Is following his senses. So he that follows me, that he that believes, that's the essence of akolutheo, he shall not walk in darkness. Amen. So we don't walk in darkness. Praise God. We don't walk in darkness, does it? That means in faith in God, there is no darkness there. I will see the relevance shortly. There is no darkness. Notice again in John 9:5. Just the next chapter. John 9:5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Amen. So light will mean to shine or to put illumination on a path. So until faith in Christ, what path does a man walk in? Darkness. Now darkness will now be relative to what? To the Father. Darkness as touching the Father, as touching God. He can be very intelligent, he can have money, he can do fine, but he will not know the Father. It's not darkness, like the man will not have, maybe he's illiterate, he doesn't have a degree. That's not what he's talking about. He's as touching the Father, shall not walk in darkness. So when it says, I am the light of the world, the Father shines the light on the Son, and the Son reflects the Father. So it's a direction towards the Father, or a direction from the Father. It's not talking about education here. It's not talking about going to school and having light. You know, that's basically not true. It's referring to education in the knowledge of the Father. So a man that is born again has that light of life. I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Go to John 10. Are you there? Are you there? So in John 10, again, he begins to talk. Of course, we can do a background on this. John 10, 9:41. But let's start from 9:39. For judgment have come into this world, that they which see might not see. So they which see not might see. Sorry, before that. They which see not, 9:39. And they which see might be blind. Jesus used such strong words. And he said, which were with him, heard those words, and he said unto him, are we blind also? Then he said, if you were blind, you will have no sin.
Can you see the figure of speech?
But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains.
Are you there? So he's talking about, again, the self-righteousness of the Pharisee. He said, if you are blind, then you will see. Okay?
You'll have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains.
Now, of course, sin there means an error. It doesn't mean that they stole money or they lied. He's just talking about an error. Sin means an error.
Now look at this. Verily I say unto you, chapter 10, verse 1, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And he that enters in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leads them out. Notice that. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. Amen. Can you see? And the sheep follows him, for they know what? For they know what? Okay. And a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The Bible spake here unto them, and they understood not the things which they were said unto them. Even till today, still not understood. Verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Again, don't forget we said, the key to direction is what? Faith in. Alright, look at this. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. and goes in and out and finds pasture. Does it make sense what he's saying now?
That's in his sacrifice. Amen. So what would be the thieves before? That's works, because that was what he was talking about. That if you see, then your sin remains. Do you understand? Does it make sense? So when he mentions thieves and robbers, go further.
And then he says, the thief comes not, but for to steal, to kill. And, okay, 9. And the door by me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. And goes in and out, and finds pasture. The thief comes not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's not the devil at all. It's just, the devil is just by association there. You are also a thief anyway. I have come that you may have life and have money. Does that make any sense?
The people he's talking to, the rich people there now. So how does this become, putting fruits and juice in a flyer?
And that they might have it more abundantly, or better still, be sufficient. I am the good shepherd that what?
That what? Okay, so what is the door of the sheep? His person or his sacrifice? Huh? Okay, good. His sacrifice. So when it was in he that follows me, that wasn't possible in the four gospels. Alright? That was possible. Life was only possible upon his death and resurrection. Does it make sense? So, does it make sense? So he will give his life for the sheep. Okay? That's what he's talking about. So those, the thief will be what? Would the thief be a person or persons or a doctrine or its teachers?
That's almost the same thing.
Huh? Is the thief the devil? Huh? Why are you quiet? Is the thief the devil? No.
The devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He took your phone.
Sorry, he took your... The thief that took your phone is not the devil, it's a human being. Obviously, Jesus is teaching basic spiritual truths. Because, you know, Jesus even acknowledged that, you know, he said the thief. He said, lay up your treasures where thieves cannot get there. So, is that not true? He said, lay up your treasures where moths or not thieves cannot reach. So, obviously, whatever he's saying here is a spiritual principle, right? So, who will be the thief? Is it a who or a what? Who thinks it's a who? Nobody. A what? Both. A who? No, be bold now. It's church. Except the woman. Let them ask no questions until. Okay, so is it a thief? Sorry, is it a person or a belief? Why? You think it's a belief? Why? Why would you say so? Okay, let's read further. Maybe it will help you.
But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep.
Literal
or a parable?
No, it's not a parable. There was no parable in John. Was it an illustration?
Is verse 12 an illustration? Of course now. The hireling flees because he's an hireling and cares not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and know of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I, the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall have one fold and one shepherd. There does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, and I take it again. No man takes it from me, and but I lay it down of myself, I part to lay it down, and I part to take it again. This command I have received of my Father. So what's he talking about?
Huh? Is this he talking about people? Persons or a belief system? Okay, wait. What is the door of the sheep? Okay, so what would be the opposite? Okay, what will save is death. What will steal? Huh? Let's take it again. What What will save? Because the essence is salvation there, right? So what will save? Is laying down his life for the sheep. So what will be the opposite of that? That's what gives life. So what will steal, kill, and destroy? The law? Is it the law? Seriously? The law? So the law came but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Is that a general submission of the house? Is this a general submission of the house? Who submits such? I won't ask you to explain. For now. For now. If that is your submission, let me see your hand. You don't have a submission. Okay, it's not the law, it's works. Raise it. Raise it now. Okay, it's not works, it's Pharisees and Sadducees. Okay, Moses. Anyway, I'll leave you to think. But you can see that whatever is a thief will be the opposite of what? Of not doing anything to be saved. Right? So whatever is a thief is what causes to do. Right? Or what makes to do. Or who makes to do. Who, what, which, where that? Amen? Alright. So, it says, a stranger, verse 5, they know not the voice of strangers. The word stranger is to belong to another. That's the word allotros in the Greek, A-L-L-O-T-R-O-S, which means it's not yours. So when you use allotros, it means it does not belong to. So in other words, a stranger will be what? What does not speak of the sacrifice of Jesus? Does it make sense? Huh? Does it make sense? Okay. It belongs to another. That's a stranger. Same thing, verse 8. Look at 9. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Now, the sheep did not hear will mean to heed, to believe. Alright? Akuho. Just to hear, to heed, to believe. Alright? So verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, which is through his sacrifice. Are we making sense? Are we making sense? Okay. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The word to go in and out just means go in and out, okay? The word pasture, however, is a bit different. It's the same word he uses in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17. That Paul used, not Jesus now. 2:17. Just used twice in New Testament Greek. For their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Imenos and Philetus. To eat. The word eat there, why they have to use pasture, is something that does not lack supply. In other words, it speaks of increase. So that seems to be spiritual growth in and out. So spiritual growth is predicated upon what Jesus has done. You know, I told you before, if your knowledge is not the knowledge of the Son of God, no matter how many years you do in ministry, no matter how many miracles you see, it is not, you are not growing spiritually. If you like the 100 years in the faith and write books and have CDs, doesn't make any difference. You can only get growth based on a certain information. So the only way you find pasture or increase will be through this act of Jesus. Just like Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow into salvation. 1 Peter 2, 2. It says, grow in grace. 2 Peter 3, 18. And what? In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the knowledge is specific. Ephesians 4, 13. Unity of the faith, which is the full knowledge of the Son of God. Ephesians 4, 13. The perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness which is in Christ. Like I taught you on Sunday, that when you hear sound doctrine, some people believe sound doctrine is where people wear scarf. And that is actually doctrine of devils. You believe sound doctrine is when you give rules and regulations, and that's actually seducing spirit. Sound doctrine is anything that focuses on faith in Christ. I said that on Sunday, right? Can you remember that? Sound doctrine is what focuses, teaches faith in Christ. When you have sound doctrine, for example, if you tell people that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not a believer, that is a doctrine of devils. Sound doctrine must be Christ alone. In Christ alone. That's sound doctrine. So, when you want to test for sound doctrine, what you are looking for is what? Faith is what? It can be Christ and Christ lost. It's faith in Christ. That's why Paul said to the church in Galatia that some will come with another gospel and they will trouble. The word trouble means to lose your confidence. To lose your assurance. That is, by the time they are saying it, you begin to have doubt about what Christ has done. That is another gospel. It's a trait of another gospel that makes you lose your assurance. Are we making any sense here? So, a sound doctrine reaffirms faith in Christ alone. Are you in church? Are you there? So, if you go in and out and find pasture. So, in other words, in the light that we have, which is the voice of the Good Shepherd, we have spiritual development. So, our development of that light will be development in spiritual realities. We come into spiritual realities. Light. Spiritual realities. The light that is shed on us, or the light that we walk in, is the light of the Father. So the light is the light of the Father. Whom we see, or what we see, is the Father. 1 John 1:5. Are you in church? Oh, I see. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You know, people forget that when John said God is light, he also said God is love. You know, that God does not have love. God is love. You know, they are just descriptive. Amen. In him is no darkness at all. So there are two things. He says God is light. Again, he plays with the word phos, P-H-O-S in the Greek, which is the source of light. It's different from what received light is the source of light. Now, the source of light will have no trace of darkness. In him is no trace of darkness. And it says that we are in fellowship, verse 3, which is the word koinonia. We are in fellowship. So, in fellowship simply means that I am giving you something. So, when you say I have fellowship, pay attention. When I say I have fellowship with him, it means he has given me what? Huh? He has given me himself. Koinonia means to share. So we are sharing the Father. The Father has made himself available. So he now says, in him, God is light. Okay, so he has shared with us what? Huh? Light. And in him is no darkness at all. So, the light Jesus mentioned is the light of who? God. So, what does the light give us access to? The Father. In him is no darkness at all. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we don't receive direction per day. Like, oh, Father said, oh, today is a Wednesday, okay. New every morning. No. From the day a man is born again, from the day he is born again, he has received the light of life. You don't receive more light after the new birth. If light comes to anywhere at all, it comes to your understanding, your thinking. But the man who is born again, predominantly in his spirit, has been lit up forever. So watch this. John 14. You have left the realm of confusion. Amen. You have left the realm of playing dice or game. You have left that realm. Praise God. You have left the realm of going to prophets. Praise God. Those are believers, they'll say, they'll call you. And they say, the way to talk, if you're a believer and you are even not sure, and you go and meet another believer, you don't say some stupid things like, what's God saying? What should we even call you? Are you a cousin of the family? Or you're a distant relative? You know, you can say, agree with me, I just want to lay my hands on, the direction I've received in Christ. That's all. Don't say, what's God saying? And the guy now begins to feel himself. Don't do it. When you are in Africa, there are things that, people in Africa, we have an African Holy Ghost, We have African Holy Ghost. I was telling people that, for example, when it comes to doctrinal discussions, that I have doctrinal discussions around the world. But when I situate Nigerians, I comport myself because I know curses will fly easily. When I talk to Americans, they just talk freely. But when I talk to Nigerians, they say, You see, there's just something that boils. Begin to curse. It's just an African thing. We curse because we take home to church. It's an African thing. There must be an evidence. Comb, you take bottles, handkerchief, salt. Someone was asking me in the meeting, say, sir, what's covenant of salt? I think that's a minister, a preacher. To whom shall we go? Covenant of salt. Which is shed for the remission of sins of men. Amen. Nobody have got you. Do things. Yes. God was moving. But look at this. We have left the path of darkness. Amen. We have left. Someone say, but. Someone can I say, but sir, I've seen what you have said. But in my life, the question, you are hearing it for the first time. How would you expect it to have worked for you when you never heard it before? Or when you heard it, you heard other things that were more dominant. God will do nothing except he reveals it to his servant, the prophet. He will do nothing. And then that becomes a memory verse. He will do nothing. That's Amos 3:7. The same Amos now said, would there be evil in the land and the Lord has not done it? He will do nothing. Hallelujah. Believe the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophet and you shall prosper. Establish the Lord. That's salvation. Prosper is the prophet. So your prosperity is in the mouth of your prophet. Is there a prophet over your life? They took you to 2 Chronicles. Where they wanted to fight a battle and they were doing praise worship. That is where they took you. You know how many books you jumped? You left Acts, you went to John, Luke, Mark, you didn't stop in Matthew, then you entered Malachi. You went on and on. You passed Isaiah, you were not tired. Lamentation, you didn't lament. You moved on and on, you went to Psalm. You now jumped to, you left Job confidently. All the way, and you didn't stop. Then you enter 2 Chronicles. And you now began to have many kings over your life. And then you now enter 2 Chronicles. And you now saw yourself in a battle with Israelites. And then you said, believe the Lord your God. And you took it. Your prayer point is not in the Bible. He that believes in me shall not perish, but shall have the light of life. Not a prophet, the message. Amen. Are you there? So John 14. Sometimes we have to say things like we don't know you. Remember my friend used to say that some things if you don't say to people, they won't know that's not what you are saying. So it's true. When I say we have the letter, I say it's true. The prophet told me. You won't know the difference. Or the first I'm talking about. You just say, yeah, it's the same thing. Everything is the same thing. Prophet, light of life, Jesus, fellowship with the Father. It's the same thing. Everything is working together for my good.
John 14, verse 16. And I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells where? And shall be where? Verse 18, I will not leave you completely, I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, and you know me, or you see me, because I live, you shall live also. Let's take 20 together. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and I,
Amen. So, where is the fellowship of the Father? In us. Amen. See, I'm in fellowship with the Father. So, that fellowship is where? In us. Amen. Is in us. Pay attention. It now says, in verse, let me see, I think I'll look at verse 17. Even the spirit of whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him for he dwells with you and shall be in you. He dwells with you and shall be in you. Look at 16. That he may abide with you forever. The word abide there is actually silent in the Greek. It's supposed to be he may exist with you. E-I-M-I. Is an existence that hasn't happened before now. In the Greek. It means he will exist with you forever. It's the same word in Matthew 1:23. God with us. He exists with us. It's a union. Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you. I exist with you. So it's an existence, a unique existence of God, which is with us, and it says, in us. Praise God. So look at 20. Let's take 20 together. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Very key. The word to know there means you come to learn. Now, to know there, does not, to know is different from its existence. You only come to realize what already exists. So in other words, when it says you come to know is the word ginosko. It means to come to learn or come to see something. So that means the teaching of God's word consistently makes you to realize what? What do you come to realize? That you are in the Father. And the Father is in you. That's what the teaching of the Word of God does to you. You will come to realize. That means it will happen in a progressive form. You will come to see it. A fact. Do you know that if you don't know it, let me ask you. If you don't know it, does he exist in you? Huh? So knowing it is not what makes him exist in you. You only come to know it because he already does. So that means when we're talking about direction, we are coming to know that we have direction. We come into that knowledge that we have direction. Praise God. John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you. Ginosko. Same thing. Now realize this. The issue in what we have read so far is that there is clarity. Clarity. In him is no darkness at all. Secondly, and vitally, this does not apply to all revelation. We're going to see that shortly. No. What he said now is unique to our fellowship with the Father. Very unique. In this light, there's no darkness. You will realize.
that I am in the Father. In this light, there is absolute direction. So, a unique feature of what we have just said now is clarity. Did you discover that this is not fellowship with any other being, just one person? It's not even fellowship with fellow believers. It's fellowship with the Father. And there are other existing spirit beings that will exist around believers. And they will have different applications of direction, or different forms of direction. But the one that is unique to the Father is that there is light. There is no darkness at all. There is no darkness at all. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. So look at something. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. Let me ask you, do angels give absolute light? No. Why? Because they are not the light. Do you understand? They don't. They are not. Is this light in visions? No, it's only in Him. It's not in visions. And this light was only available upon what? Upon the door. Jesus is giving His life. So, people before now did have light, but this is not the light. The unique character of the light is that it's absolute, we said that. And then, there's clarity in it. So, look at something. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. Let's see Paul. Very unique. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It's not expedient for me in thou this to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Visions and revelations of the Lord. Verse 2. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. Such as one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knows. The truth of the matter is that the way the King James put it is so funny. Because he uses the word, I knew a man, which was past tense, and then they are now using, I cannot tell, in the present tense. Meanwhile, they ought to have, the translation ought to have tweeted everything in the past tense. At the point where it happened, he did not know. How can he say he doesn't know now? Praise God. Let's go further. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, notice, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now look at so much not knowing in verse 2, not knowing in verse 3, then it says not lawful for a man to utter. Of course, this is not the light we are talking about. It's not. And it's typical of visions. Now when it says he was caught up, don't think that he left the world. Is the word aparzo, we saw it last week. A-H-A-P-A-R-Z-O. It means to be caught up. The same thing you will find in Philip's case. We saw that last week, where it was caught up. It just means to be taken up, taken away. It doesn't have to be, a parcel can be used for something taken from here to here. It doesn't have to go up. Like it's, go up. And that's why people talk about, we shall be caught up with the Lord. They probably assume that means we'll be in the air flying like birds. No. Anyway, let's leave it. That's not our text. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 is the same word apostle. It means you will be taken away. And Paul mentions to be with the Lord, which is the transforming of the human body. We'll see that shortly. Not today, anyway. So Philip was caught up. Same thing. Apostle. You see it in Jude 23 as well. The same word. Almost to be taken away. That's what it means. So Paul was in the body. He did not know past tense. Because in 2 Corinthians 5. Let's just quickly check this one. 5. Verse 6. We are confident knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Then he says in 8, I say I'm willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Okay.
So he says that. So obviously, Paul was in the body when he was caught up. That's just what I wanted to say. Is that clear? I'll give you the explanation. So that was what he did not know then. Now, look at something about this. Obviously, this is a revelation or a vision. Okay? And that is the nature of visions. Because visions of this nature, pardon my use of words, do not have clarity in themselves. Did you notice that it says, is no darkness at all? We'll see what that means. Then he says, words that cannot be uttered. It's a Greek word, anestos. It means I couldn't find words. Can you imagine? I couldn't find words of man. Not lawful for a man to utter. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 12. The same word was used. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me. Notice the term. The 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, and all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, and all things edify not. So look at the contrast. So when you use the word anestos, it's by your permission. Something you permitted. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things edify. So notice something. This is different. Of course, whatever Paul was saying here, okay, was different from the revelation of the gospel. It was. Because in the revelation of the gospel, he communicated it. And the revelation of the gospel did not come to Paul by a vision. It came from the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3 and 4. It came from the scriptures. Romans 16, 25. It came from, and 26. It came from the scriptures. Look at how he put it. Ephesians 3. I've heard some people say, the revelation of Paul did not hear that. They have heard it. But a man wrote a book. He said, those things that are not lawful for Paul to utter, he heard it. So we should ask him, were you in the body or out of the body? At least you need to tell us one of that. Nonsense. You know. Look at Ephesians 3. Verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you, what? How that by what? By what? Come on, by what? It made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So is there a difference? Huh? So whatever he heard, that were not lawful for man to utter. He couldn't find words of man to say them. Was that the revelation of the Father? Was it of Christ? No. Pay attention. In the revelation of Jesus, it says, he made known unto me, and I communicated them to you, so that when you read, you may understand. In fact, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 10, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:10. So the word he uses here is the word apokalupto in 1 Corinthians 2:10. In Ephesians 3, he uses the word apokalupsis, which means that just a verb and a noun. It means that to show you something clearly in this regard. Because the next word he says, you will know. So, no, let's go back again. So, in the vision, was there clarity? Huh? Was there clarity? As the nature of visions are. In the revelation of Jesus, was there clarity? Yes. So, notice that we're going to see it now. Notice something about that. There was no clarity. I did not know.
Whereas, in the revelation of Jesus, he says, you will know. You will come to realize a unique feature of direction is that you will know. You will know. You will know. Look at Acts 10 again. We're there last week. So again, we said last week that in a vision, we should pay attention to details, right? Can you remember? That angels or spirit beings will not speak authoritatively. Notice the pronoun. Can you remember that? Okay. And then one unique thing is that in a, how you will know that that is the spirit of God will be the way you will not ask questions. Can you remember that? You won't ask questions. You would know. Because that is the unique aspect of that. You will know. See something. Acts 10. One more time. Peter and Cornelius. Let me just speak something quickly. 19. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek you. Pay attention to this. While he thought on the vision. Why? Because in verse 17, he was wondering, was doubting himself what the vision should mean. In verse 17, what could this mean? What should it mean? Now we discover that the person involved here is an angel. And that's why the book of Revelation is the way it is. Everybody has hit their head against the wall. The book of Revelation, because what was revealed to John, it was via angels. And that's why you had a lot of, in fact, the different insights that come from that book is not in any other book in the Bible. So notice something. Something came with that 19. Three men seek thee. Arise, go, verse 20, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Peter knew from that to preach the gospel. He knew. The angel just knew how to show movies. Animal. Coming down. Because you want to preach to Gentiles. Whereas, when Jesus told Ananias, he will bear my name before, it was clear. But you know, an angel will model it up. You will see animal. You just see your maybe your grandmother. Yeah, that's my enemy. You're a monkey. What is this? I begin to say, it's when you see something that you begin to look for the interpretation. The more reason why you should not follow it. Praise God. He just knew, go and preach. But he said, it's animal. We'll see something shortly. Let me just go for that. Peter knew it was the gospel. He went there. He knew he went there. He knew what to say. Look at what it says in 28. Verse 28. And he said unto them, you know how that it's not an unlawful, so it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into the house of one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. How did he know? So that means the Spirit of God clarified the vision for him. Do you get it? Can you see the difference? There was a vision. And there was now, what? The revelation. Did he know that in that vision to preach to anybody? Did he know in that vision that those animals, why would you even use an animal to, angels are interested. Why would you use an animal to explain? If I, you know, if it's Africa, you just wake up and somebody is chasing you. Hey. You know the way deliverance people, this issue of you are sleeping, and then you want to call your name. And then you can't see anything. Say, hey. Somebody was telling me last week that the thing happens to him a lot. I said, change your sleeping position. It's a medical thing. It's not a spiritual anything. There's nothing spiritual about it. Sir, What you are saying is not a joke. Oh, I know it's not a joke. It's just a silly position. It's a medical thing. You see, I said, put you first. I said, yes. Then initially, I used to think that it was a case of believer's authority. Till I found out there's nothing believer's authority about it. Just change the way you sleep and it will happen again. You want me to give you insight into that? Apocalypto. So I'll be a G. Just change how you sleep. Sometimes it's where you sleep. You know, sometimes. Anyway. So, he said, God, okay, so look at the clarity. So, he knew it was God by the Spirit of God. But the angel, as usual, they muddle it up. They've always muddled things up. And Peter says, that's why he said they desire to look into the gospel. The desire, what's this? You know? Look at what the angel told Peter earlier on. Go. You just say, go. And tell the people the words of this life. Go. Do you even say gospel? Salvation. Go. What do you have to say? That Christ died for their sins. He shall save his people from their sins. That's what the angel told me, Joseph, his people, Israel. But is that the gospel? Because the angel obviously used to the salvation of the Jews. We can't act beyond that. Amen. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes. So there's always clarity when the Spirit says something. Don't forget, both the Spirit of God and angels are from God. Hallelujah. You have visions like that. That's why you cannot rely on visions. Is that clear? Is that clear? Do you see that? The clarity did not come by seeing something. It came by hearing something. And you just knew. Go. Three men seek thee. I knew. So he said God. He said God because it was the direction of the Holy Ghost that clarified that for him. So that was why he could say man. So he was able to put together that what he saw was about the Gentiles. Don't call them unclean. That means before the Gentiles were saved, God called them holy. Take that to the bank. Those reaching holiness all over the place. They had not believed though, they were called cleansed. You know, cleansed. Holy is a holist. Okay. Verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. So even in the direction, the Holy Ghost cannot give you the gospel. Peter was still mumbling around. He first told story, said, no, I now found out. Almost like he was forced to do evangelism. I now found out that God is no respecter of persons. Every man, in every nation that walketh righteousness, what kind of statement is that? How can I say a man walks righteousness and is accepted with him? That's the exact opposite of verse 43. Read it now. 34. God is not a respecter of persons. Because he's forced to, he was dragged to preach in the house of a Gentile. So it's not about respect of persons. But in every nation, every man who walketh righteousness is accepted with him. Then he says in 43, to him give witness of all the prophets that through his name, what? Whosoever believes in him should receive the of things. How that, now put that with verse 34. Is that, don't look contradictory. Through his name, and 35, walketh righteousness, is accepted with him. Can't you see? So you can see that the Holy Ghost cannot tell you what to say in evangelism. In fact, the minute the Spirit tells you what to say, there's a problem. Because it's supposed to be what you already know. Praise God. You know, Paul didn't get his vision when he heard that sanctification through faith, which is in it. He heard it from Jesus. Acts 26 verse 18. Paul now went to check the scriptures. It was from the scriptures that he taught his gospel. So, you'll be the one to know what to say. But direction, let's get back to that, comes from the Spirit. Look at something.
That Acts 10 again, and the Spirit said unto me, go to Acts 11, another description, is the word lego. It's actually a speech, like a discussion. Acts 11, 12. And the Spirit bade me go with them. It's the same word, lego. It's a discussion. That is, in that, something that is a string of sentences. They said, go. There was clarity in what he heard. Clarity. So whenever you have a vision and there's no clarity, it's not the Spirit of God. It doesn't mean it's from the devil, but that's not the Spirit of God. A unique part of a unique character of the Spirit of God is that when you will know it, he doesn't tell you something that you are finding out. You will know. It comes with the knowing. You will know. Amen. I said amen. That's why when we get to dreams, you see, that's why most dreams are in that order. You now begin to, what does it mean? What does it mean? The minute it's the Spirit of God, you will know. Now, is it clear that it's not in every vision and revelation that it's the Spirit of God? Is that clear? Is that very clear? Some angelic, you know, we're going to look at one later that is actually your mind in a discussion. It will look like this still small voice. In the scripture, Acts 9, many things some people call the Holy Ghost is actually their mind. Acts 9, look at the visions of Jesus, how they differ. In Acts 9, here is Paul, Saul of Tarsus now. He heard a voice, verse 4, Acts 9, Saul, why persecute me? Then he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. Very express. Very clear. I am Jesus whom you persecute. In Acts 9, Ananias. Acts 9, 10. Behold, I am here, Lord. Go into the streets called straight and inquire in the house of Judas for the man, you know, for he prays. He has seen the vision of the man, putting his hand on the other. Then he said, Lord, I've heard of many things of this man in verse 13. Then in verse 14, he says, go thy way, for he is a vessel unto me. Very clear. You see, very clear. In every vision of Jesus, there will be nothing at all to find out. Nothing. Acts 18 again, verse 9 to 10. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Verse 9. And spake the Lord to Paul in night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and behold not thy peace. Verse 10. Look at the pronoun. For I am with you, and no man shall set on thee to urge you, for I have much people in this city. An angel, except is mad, cannot say this. Of course, there are no mad angels anymore. That's it. Acts 22, you are who has people. Acts 22, verse 18. Make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. Very clear. And he was in a trance. Verse 21. Depart, for I will send thee far, hence unto the Gentiles. Very clear. Can you see there's no animal? There's no, you won't be seeing somebody's house. What does it mean? My cousin's house. I saw my auntie in it. There was somebody brought me a calabash. Ah, that one is for movies. You bad movies. You know, we say, and there was one wristwatch. I saw it. It means I should be selling wristwatches. You are in trouble. Acts 23:11. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou art testified of me in Jerusalem, for so thou must bear witness also at Rome. Very clear. It's not a guesswork, you will know. It's not like I sensed the Lord speak to me. You won't sense it. You will know. You close your eyes, you need to see somebody wearing suits and it will be clear. So you must know how to distinguish these things. Are we together? There's clarity. So Ananias knew it was Jesus. He knew, you know. Even to the unsaved, he said, I am Jesus. You know,
Acts 9:5 was so clear.
I'm Jesus. So, can we say a characteristic of seeing this way, which is by the Spirit anyway, is that there will be seeing and knowing. Huh? You know that Paul never saw Jesus. But the minute he saw him, he knew it was him. That's seeing and knowing. You will know. You will know. So somebody, he looks like Jesus. Bros. It won't be a guesswork. He said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. Do you know, in that instance, he heard a voice. He was not born again. But Ananias was clear. You are born again. You have that capacity to recognize him because you are born of the Spirit. Amen. Rather, you can't have a mistaken identity for Jesus. It's not a function of anything. Not because you are born again. The minute you see him, you will know it's him. Praise God. It's not a guesswork. You know that's Jesus. Praise God. There are some Jesus that appear to people. A lot of Jesus. There was one sister like that years ago. As she finished telling the Jesus' story, I think that was not Jesus. Because I'd read Brother Hagin, so I'd had enough information. The things that the being told her, all white, so with snails, which, I just said snails, that's it. Nails, I know that, and everything. This is not Jesus. But I couldn't say it immediately, or else she will not come to fellowship again. Because some people, they guard those things so jealously. That when you set the excuse, they say, something I saw. So I just tampered my judgment with mercy. So I said, okay. As she was saying it, I said, the things she uttered and said and uttered. So along the line, I wait. About 3 months after I started sharing, and I said to her, so one day she just said, bro, that is not Jesus I saw. I said, I've been trying to say that since we sat in that mosque that day. So you will know. Amen. So don't stress yourself. You don't even need Bible study to know. Just because you are born again, it's just automatic. Hallelujah. You don't need Bible study. It's not the Bible study thing. You just know. Now, notice again, we'll look at this later, not this week. There will be no types and shadows. You will see images. The reason for the book of Revelation was that angels were involved. Angels don't know how to say things straightforward. They are learning. Only God knows when they will pass. But you see, you will always, whenever you see an angel involved, you will be seeing different things. So some people, the highest form of revelation they still have today is angelic visitation. You will just be seeing types and shadows. I don't know, just the same way with Moses. You just be seeing, you just go back like 2,000, 4,000 years before now. So you will see types and shadows. It will be so clear. Because you will not walk in darkness. There will be a single doubt. Coming with the witness of the Spirit is clarity. The only job you need to do is to find it out. In that witness is clarity. It is in the finding that we have a work to do. But no, when it is the witness of the Spirit, there's no pressure you will need to apply to know. You will know. That's how you know. That's it. Amen. Are you there? So again, look at the book of Acts. We're going to run through so many scriptures. Are you ready? Okay. You know, last week we said there was a use of words in the book of Acts that we should follow after. And that is the term, the Spirit and Holy Ghost. Can you remember? Very good. Now, Acts 1:2. Let's run through the term Holy Ghost. So I want you to be answering.
I'm going to ask a question. So we want to look at what was typical with the term Holy Ghost. Acts 1:2, on the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments. So what's that? Very good. What's that again? Utterance. Okay. Acts 1:5. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days. What's that? What's that, please? Acts 1:8. After with the Holy Ghost has come upon you. What's that again? Consider the book of Acts. Utterance. Acts 1:16. Let's take it again. Let's take it down together. Men and brethren, this scripture must be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of, what else? What does the utterance? Acts 2:4. Technical. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to what? Without that, very good. Acts 2:4. Acts 2:33. Notice when he mentioned spirit in 17, it was both utterance and revelation. Acts 2:33, that's how Acts 2:4 also is. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and have received the promise of the Holy Ghost, what else is that? That what? Which you now see and hear. What's that? Utterance now. Acts 2:33. Right? Acts 2:38. The gift of the Holy Ghost. What's that? Utterance. You know that. We studied that before. Acts 2:38. Acts 4:8. Peter filled with the Holy Ghost said. What is that? Utterance. Acts 4:31. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke. What's that again? Thank you. Acts 5:3. It's not too nice, but we have to say it. Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price paid. That is, we don't have a clarity on that, but we'll check it later. Acts 32. And we are witnesses of these things, of which also is the Holy Ghost, whom God had given to them that obey him. That's utterance. Acts 32. Acts 6:3. Men full of the Holy Ghost. Utterance, right? Okay, good. Acts 6:5. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Utterance. Acts 7. That's history. Acts 7:51. Yea, stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers do. That is what he was saying. Acts 7:51. Acts 7:55. And being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus and the right hand of God, and said, utterance. Acts 8:15. That they might receive the Holy Ghost. Utterance. 17, they received the Holy Ghost, utterance. 18, Simon saw that by two laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, utterance, because the next thing was utterance, they were speaking. Acts 19, that you may receive the Holy Ghost, utterance. Acts 9:17, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, consistently, utterance. Acts 9:31, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Hold on that. Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. That's history. That's Luke 4:18 quoted. Now look at Acts 10:44. The Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. How did they know? They heard them speak with tongues. Verse 46, Acts 10:44. Acts 10:45 was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Again, utterance. Acts 10:47, I've received the Holy Ghost as well as we. Utterance. Acts 11:15, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Utterance. Acts 11:15. Acts 11:16, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Utterance. Acts 11:24 was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. That's not difficult to see utterance. Acts 13:2. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, utterance.
That's by prophecy. Acts 13:2. Acts 13:9. Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, Acts 13:10. Acts 13:52. Disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Okay. Acts 15, verse 8. Giving them the Holy Ghost as unto us. Just like that, Acts 11, utterance. Acts 15, verse 8. Acts 15:28. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Of course, it was because they were giving instruction again. The reference to Acts 15:28. Acts 19:2. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Utterance. Acts 19:2. Acts 19:6. The Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. That explains Acts 19:2. Acts 20:23. Saying the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. Utterance. Acts 20:28. Take it therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. That's a technical detail. Let me give you a hand here. Acts 21:11. Thus saith the Holy Ghost. That's Agabus. Acts 21:11. Acts 28:25. Acts 28:25. Well spoke the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers. So is something consistent? What's consistent? Utterance. Okay. Very consistent. Acts 2:4. As the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2:17. I pour my Spirit upon all flesh. The sons and daughters shall prophesy. Then they shall see visions. So there's revelation involved. I mentioned 18 already. By my Spirit. Acts 8:29. And the Spirit said unto Philip, said. Acts 8:39. The Spirit of the Lord cut away Philip. Acts 10:19. We read that earlier. The Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Acts 10:19. Acts 11:12. Yep. Same thing. The Spirit bade me go. Read that earlier. Acts 11:28. Agabus signified by the Spirit revelation with utterance. Note that, please. Now, very critical. Acts 16. So when we have Spirit, it involves what? Utterance and revelation. Okay. There's revelation involved in that. Acts 16. Notice something. So, hold on. Peter saw a vision. Then, it was via revelation that he understood it. So, does every vision carry revelation? Does every vision carry revelation? No. Okay. So, look at Acts 16. Verse 6. And when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they are said to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they passing by Mysia came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. Notice this. Three different experiences. The second one is dicey. The Holy Ghost forbade them. Consistently, the book of Acts, that's via utterances, forbade them not to preach the word in Asia. Yet, the Spirit did not allow them to go. That's twofold. It's either by revelation, which is they saw something, or, but very vitally, they must have what? Heard. Someone heard something. Don't go. Didn't allow them to go. So they heard, and someone spoke. In the same vein, look at 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. So there are three things now. Or two. There is the utterance, and then you have revelation. All in the same breath. And historically, this happened in the space of weeks. So that means that many times we should be patient. We should be patient. In a space of weeks, you can have different experiences along the same line. Because the realm you are in, it's flawed. There are floods of information. Now, some information will not be clear. Don't go. Where to go? They didn't know. So, there was no clarity yet. Then they now saw a man of Macedonia that stood and prayed to them, come over unto Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately, I want to observe something. We endeavor to go. So that means when one person has a vision or a revelation, it is called we. Are you there? Are you there? Okay. We endeavor to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord has called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Notice something there. Assuredly gathering. Now, the word gather there is the word sombazo. S-U-M-B-I-B-A-Z-O. Sombabazo, sorry. S-U-M-B-I-B-A-Z-O. It means to put things together. You see it in Acts 9:22. To put things together. Acts 9:13. When you put facts together. Ephesians 4:16. Colossians 2:2 and Colossians 2:9. That's where you have similarities of that same word. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Ephesians 4:16. Colossians 2:2 and Colossians 2:9. Let's look at that Ephesians 4:16. Are you in church? From whom the whole body fitly joins together and compacted. That means different things will be put together. Put together to knit things. So what were the things they gathered together? Huh? Don't preach in Asia. Forbidded them. Then the vision. So you are the one that has the responsibility, the intelligence of putting everything together. Now, who was a person who put things together like that? Peter. He saw a vision, and then the moment he heard from the Spirit, he put everything together. Are you following what I'm saying here? So you have a role to play. He put it together. He saw a man of Macedonia. He didn't see Jesus. He didn't see an angel. But obviously, who would have used an angel to talk to them? Sorry, a man. You know that our people. A man of Macedonia. Come and help us. So obviously, for weeks, they were having stirrings around them, as touching what the Lord wanted them to do. But they did not take a step immediately on any. They waited. The longer they waited, the clearer it was. And so, they put everything together. The Lord wants us to go and preach here. It may not have happened within a year. Because there are some folks like that. In fact, the first experience, let me just close. The first experience is that, well, God has said I should not preach the gospel.
You know?
The second one will be, come and help us. Let's take food there. Shop for free. I mean, come and help us. Help. What they need in Macedonia, brethren, is help. What they need in Macedonia is help. So we are going to go with used clothes. Indomie. No. Come and help us. You know, it is a, as usual, the angel will not say, come and save. You will have to gather everything together. You can, an angel cannot instruct you. An angel cannot even make anything clear. If a vision also is just like that, it is left for you to put everything together. And that's what they did. They put everything together. There are things like that. You should wait a little bit more. Amen. Are you together here? Wait a little bit. Now, notice what happened though. As they got to the place, you know, they went to jail. The funny part was that it was a team of people, but only Paul and Silas were there. I don't know. Some brethren just don't, they find a way of not showing up. Just the same way when they were at Lystra. Only Paul was stoned. Where was Barnabas? Maybe he was supplicating somewhere. John Mark traveled out of the country immediately. But you know, it didn't mean that we now went into bliss. That the Lord was just telling me to wait because he knew that the land to do the church, the building would be available. He knew somebody would bring money and so on and so forth. But when they got there, they saw a damsel who was possessed with the spirit of divination. Come and help me. And as they cast out that demon, imagine casting out the demon and then the government is coming after you. That demon must be powerful. And they say, why did they lock you up for casting out the demon? And as they were doing that, the glory of God, the popular centurion got saved. And much people received the gospel. And don't forget, as they finished preaching to that guy, they escaped. Go and look at that detail. They didn't go back to the city. That would be stupid. They just moved on. So maybe the man of Macedonia will be who? Macedonia is a larger country. Don't let me confuse you. Anyway, the point is that they gathered it together. That is, they were able to put those facts together. Put them together. The things you saw, be patient. Be patient. Like rightly said, when you have, as it were in this instance, the leading of the Spirit, it will have clarity to it. And sometimes to lay your hands on it, you may just need to be patient. Like we have said before in this series, Linear Perception, that if there's any way to know it's not God telling you something, fear cannot be part of it. You just, that's not the Lord. It will bear witness with his person. It will bear witness with his person. It will bear witness with his character. And then you will know that the Lord is showing you things. So you must be able to put your experiences together. Are you there? Put it together. Intelligently. Some babaizo. Intelligently. And say, okay. You sit back. You know, it's very possible that they had a meeting and everybody discussed the utterance and the vision. So, and they were able to put that together and say, this is what the Lord is saying. Sometimes that will be a responsibility of yours to put it together. Amen. I said, amen. And they didn't go on Facebook and say, praise God. The Lord suffered us not to go. And then say, Macedonia, here we come. He doesn't even know, he just assumes. Hallelujah. So, but I saw a vision. You have a responsibility to put things together. And then know what to do. So, I guess that's our next service on this. We'll just look at how do you put them together. How do you intelligently do? We'll look into the epistles and see how do you intelligently do these things and not see a vision around ahead of things or make conclusions. Don't forget, the moment you see figurative expressions, don't take any steps. Don't make any conclusions. Don't. Don't make any kind of conclusion. Don't see somebody and say, for example, if you have a cousin in Macedonia, my cousin is in trouble. Or my cousin is the devil. Some people have a problem and they sleep and they see somebody in the sleep. That person is the cause of their problem. Don't do that. Sometimes it's just your mind in the recesses of it. You're playing funny on you. We'll see all that as we proceed anyway. So you must know how to put these things together intelligently. So like we say, I'll close now. Spiritual things require intelligence. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? Intelligence. You know, in little experience I have with the Lord, I have found out, and I can test it with any other person I know, that the older you get, well, there's nothing called older in the faith anyway, but the more experiences you have, you will be very slow to react to any leading, except it is express. It's just normal. You will be slow. You will be slow. You will wait. You will observe it. Kenneth Hagin used to say that it's better to be a bit slower than the Lord than to be ahead of Him. You must learn that. The moment you have to show a dream, don't show dreams to men of God. Please, I've said this before, and I've seen people do it. And don't show dreams to men of God. Wait till you know what is there. Except if you have a ministry team. Okay? And then it's about something you all do. Then you express it. This is what I saw and all that. But when it comes to you, don't be submitting things. Say, sir, I saw there was one crocodile. I saw when I drive, I saw it again. I saw my cousin. He wore a black shirt. That black shirt I gave him when he was a baby. See? Then the pastor begins to put on conjectures. That your cousin? Is he born again? No, sir. He's not born again. But he's a nice guy. He's just going to guess. Sir. Even tongues, you don't give someone to interpret for you. Sister, you see the grass first. Then the person will probably ask you to go and pray. If you had enough sense, you didn't anybody tell you to pray. But because you didn't have sense, someone now told you to go and pray. Is it going to pray that you did not know before you went to see the great prophet? Stop making pastors look like native doctor. Sir. Somebody that I love, there's somebody else I see. If you love someone, you will see another person. And see somebody. There was someone like that. Let me close on this one. He was toasting a lady and so what's toasting? Did they use that word toasting? It's outdated. Anyway, it was. I've had different version. He was liking her. What? The other one was Paro. Eh? Dating. No. He wasn't dating. But they had not entered calendar yet. He was asking, he was just liking the damsel. He's somebody I know, and you know,
They were in the process, but somewhere along the line, you know, the damsel, you know, did the Galatians 2:20, Romans 6:6, you know, and I told you guys, you know, it's not good. The Bible says that you should not crucify the Son of God at first. It's not good. Don't do it again. But it's impossible to renew again to repentance. Anyway, so he now said that he saw a vision and saw that the lady got married. They have a child that was unhappy. Tell them which. You will see a vision. After being nailed like this, you will enter paradise. He saw something. Wasn't lying. But this is just your mind playing games. The truth of the matter is that she has children now. He also does. And everybody is happy. At least I see their pictures on Facebook and everybody is happy. Amen. No point. No, there's no point. You know. Don't become, like I said, don't become so unintelligent. Don't become unintelligent. Amen. But one thing is this, we don't walk in darkness. Amen. What about saying this so often? E.W. Kenyon says that you say it so often till it dawns on your mind. I don't walk in darkness. I know the voice of the good shepherd. It's clear to me. I have clarity. I walk in absolute light. There are no shadows at all. Amen. You say that so often, rather than I'm confused. I don't know what to do. All this is evil scattered right now. I don't want to pray for me. There's nobody to pray for me. Let me sow a seed. Let me sow a seed. I become a tree. I know that. The more you say those kind of things, you are walking in systematic unbelief. Amen. Praise God. Did you learn something? Talk to your neighbor, share with them for a few minutes. Let's see what you learned. Share.